We chanted this morning the sound of Mu, and Mu and the koan Mu is usually, traditionally, the first koan that students receive doing koan practice. So I wanted to say a word about Mu and the practice of Mu. Let me read you the commentary. It's very short, very direct. A monk asks Master Joshu in all earnestness, does a dog have Buddha nature or not? And Joshu said, Mu. Mumon, who put together this book called The Gateless Gate, writes a commentary for us. For the practice of Zen, you must pass the barrier set up by the ancient patriarchs. To attain marvelous enlightenment, you must completely extinguish all thoughts of the ordinary mind. If you have not passed this barrier and have not extinguished all thoughts of the ordinary mind, you're like a phantom haunting the weeds and the trees. Now, just tell me, what is the barrier set up by the patriarchs? Merely this Mu. The one barrier of our Zen sect. Those who have passed the barrier are able not only to see Joshu's face, but to walk hand in hand with him and with the whole descending line of patriarchs and be eyebrow to eyebrow with them. You will see with the same eye that they see, hear with the same ear that they hear with. Wouldn't that be a wonderful joy? Isn't there anyone who wants to pass this barrier? If so, then concentrate your whole self into Mu, making your whole body with all of its 360 bones and joints and all of your 84,000 pores into one solid lump of doubt. Day and night, without ceasing, keep digging into it. But don't take it as nothingness or being and not being. It must be like a red-hot iron ball which you have tried to gulp down and which you try to vomit up, but you cannot. You must distinguish your delusive thoughts and your beliefs, which you have cherished so much up to this present moment. After a certain period of such efforts, Mu will come to fruition, and inside and outside will become one naturally. You then will be like a dumb man who has just had a dream. I know what that feels like. And you will know yourself. You'll know yourself truly. All of a sudden, Mu will break open for you. It will astonish the heavens and shake the earth. It will be just as if you had snatched the great sword of General Khan. If you meet the Buddha, you'll kill him. If you meet a patriarch, you will kill him. Though you may stand on the brink of life and death, you will enjoy a great freedom. Now, how should you concentrate on this great Mu? Exhaust every ounce of energy you have in doing it. And if you do not give up, you will be enlightened, the way a candle in front of the altar is lighted by one touch of fire. The verse. Dog, Buddha nature, the perfect manifestation, the absolute command. A little has or has not, body is lost. Your life is lost. A word about koans. Koans help to open up the door of our consciousness in order to transform the mind. I'm from Newark. I have trouble with people sitting behind me like this. Just wonder what they're up to back there.
When will you move on the side there, and I'll scoot over here, so that way he doesn't have to keep listening.
No, it's all right. No, it's all right. A koan opens up the door to transform the mind. It's like a great light that shines on reality. The universe is always changing and shifting, and it's not static, and a koan helps us to see that and to live in that. But like this koan, I think all koans essentially are about showing us a way to get free. That's really why we practice, I think. The koan, Joshu's Mu, wants to take away all of our thinking, all of our concepts. It doesn't even have any interest in your opinion. It doesn't care about your point of view. I found in working with Mu that when I realized that, a great weight had been lifted off of me. That I could have my thoughts and opinions, but they weren't all really that important. I felt more free, and more free to be open to other people's. But I wasn't so attached to them. And they change all the time. If we're locked into thoughts and opinions, a koan can make you a bit spooked because it wants to pull them all away from you. And we find that we can hold on tenaciously to our view. But the koan Mu, the sound of Mu, wants to sweep that all away like we were doing this morning. We just, on that out-breath when we were chanting Mu, you're just breathing out all of those thoughts and ideas until any sense of separation of you and the sound, or you and the room, or you and your points of view dissolve. And all there is left is the sound. There's no need to be right. There's no need to have to be special or do anything special or think special thoughts or say special things. We can just be us. It's not even interested in your theories about the world. I think that when we practice with this sound of Mu, when we walk with Mu, breathe Mu, there can be a sense of aliveness and connectedness in your experience. A sense of freedom in your experience. What I like about Mu also is that the koan Mu is that it immediately then brings us to a full stop. It puts the brakes on any idea of having to constantly get ahead or do things in a certain way or having a mind where we have to believe a certain thing or do a certain thing. So the koan stops all those tangled thoughts and ideas, all the thoughts of seeking something. Instead, as I'm saying, it offers an acceptance of our current state of being as being okay. I'll say that again. Working with Mu is a way to find acceptance in your current state of being as being okay. Just as you are. finding freedom in what occurs. I wish this food were better. I don't like all this fast walking. Why do we have to sit so long? My knee is hurting. I love the Assyrians. You see, all of those places we want to hang out, we breathe them out, and we just find a place of rest and freedom in the activity that we're in. See? So Mu stops us and says, just look, just feel, just be. In other words, I think Zazen is a realization on the spot, you see? So it's a realization in the moment. We bring ourselves to a single pointed focus. The enlightened state is not somewhere else. It's not a special moment. It's being with things as they are. Being with yourself as you are is already the enlightened state. It's already here. So the more you seek it as if it were somewhere else, the farther away from it you would get. Because it's in each activity, each thing that you're doing, each breath that you're taking. So in Sesshin in particular, in working with Mu, even working with the breath, we don't long for any other state or any other experience. We don't long for any other moment than the one that we have. Even the thought, I am working with Mu, you see there's an I and there's a Mu that you are working on. Rather, so you want to let those go. You want to let go of I, let go of any idea of Mu. There's just the sound. There's just the moment. Rather than I am working on Mu, it might be more like Mu is working on you. See, it wants to open you up. To close the gap. To take away has or has not, as the verse says. The koan also will, I think, and koans in general, then start to take you into new places, see, where normally you might want to hesitate or avoid. It wants to take you beyond the thinking mind, the intellectual mind, because the intellectual mind, the cognitive mind, operates by maps. We have maps. We navigate with by maps, you know, cognitive maps. Carl Jung said that the map is not the territory, right? See, the map is a map of the territory. Now, if any of you have done any hiking or walking out in the woods, you know that the map is not the territory. We use maps, but they're not the thing itself. And what we're interested in is the experience itself. So while we use maps, we don't want to be attached to a map of for our life either, because life isn't going to operate according to your map. So I would like to invite you to become, especially in these next few days, a wonderfully curious explorer. To hang out with the things that you might usually turn away from and see what they're like. If you don't get caught up in have or have not, right or wrong, good or bad, you might find an interesting place of freedom. Even in the midst of something that's been uncomfortable, actually you might find that it becomes a wonderful teacher for you. To discover something about yourself, maybe that you have kept in shadow for a long time. Now in working with Mu, or even again doing breath work, you need both patience and presence. Our practice is not a passive activity, but an active engagement. So you want to be present to your breathing, present with your walking, present with your eating, present to the sound of the train going by. Another way that I have thought about working with this particular koan, or even with the breath, is asking myself the question, in a sense, of what is it that exists before I arrives? Before the thought arrives, what is there? That when we think about the thought, we notice that we're more distant from the activity. We're thinking about it, but we've created a space, a gap, a distance between the activity itself and our thinking about it. So as I say, Mu helps us close that gap down to just be with things directly. So it's a wonderful question to be asking, which is, what is life? Who am I? What is this before the arrival of I? So in the next few days, I would like to encourage all of you to work with, to be with whatever it is that arrives at your door. Tiredness, discomfort, great joy. A deep intimacy with the trees or the breeze. Whatever it is that arrives at your doorstep, to welcome it. To say hello. To see it as yourself. To close the gap. To be aware of the conditioning of wanting to go for pleasure and avoid discomfort, and see what happens if you don't have to get so caught up in that. And Zen is the practice of liberation. It's the practice of how we put an end to suffering. And this is one of the, I think, effective ways to do that. Any questions or thoughts about this?
So sitting in Zazen is the state of enlightenment. And should you strive to have a deeper enlightenment, or is that the grasping, gaining mind?
Yes. That would be more grasping. You know, I want more. I want better. I want different. I want, you know. It arrives on its own because it's already there. So there's no need to start thinking about having to strive for something more or better. You know, I think in Zen, I think maybe a wonderful phrase in terms of your question is an effortless effort. You know, we have to make an effort. We show up. You know, we get here 5 minutes before the bell. We sit. We practice. We participate with the community activities. We do our practices. But we shouldn't have to put in a mind effort into it of saying, I have to get this, or I have to achieve this. It'll be there on its own. Much like the artist looking at the blank canvas and being present to see what arrives, right? That goes on the canvas, right? So. some other thoughts or questions about koan practice or this one particular practice of mu? Maybe a question about practice in general? Yeah, actually, I don't think you have to. I think that would be more striving. Now I have to extinguish the striving mind by striving. I don't think it's really about extinguishing. I think it's about not attaching. So we all have conditioning. We all have striving thoughts. They'll come through. And we greet them and say, hi, how you doing? Thanks for sharing. But we don't grab them. So we watch them come and go. We all have our conditioning to deal with, you know, our striving attitudes. It's being able to have, and that's why Zazen is such a beautiful practice, because it allows us a space in which we can see that conditioning without grabbing it, without identifying with it. And we can just watch it come and go, sitting in ease and peace as we watch these things move through us and we learn about our edges that way. I think that's so. Nothing needs to be extinguished. And you know, I was saying this at our Zendo Tuesday night. Some people gave me wide-eyed looks. There's no need for self-improvement.
So I guess you can make an analogy between, say, developing an artistic skill or playing a sport. We're here to learn fundamentals and to get basic skills down. And when the time comes, you'll create a beautiful piece of art. You'll hit a home run, you'll throw, you know, a touchdown on the most amazing visions. It'll just happen because you've done the homework. And this is, we're doing homework.
Yeah. I remember, you know, as a kid, you know, my father was loved to play golf. And he wanted me to play golf so badly with him. You know, and so I went to the driving range with him, and I had to learn the proper stance, the proper way to approach the ball, where the foot goes, that the head has to stay down. You don't want to keep pulling it up, otherwise you won't hit the ball well. I mean, I had to learn the fundamentals of the art of playing golf. And I had to practice that over and over and over and over and over again. But as it became more comfortable to get those kind of disciplines down, there was a day when I just hit the ball. I didn't have to think about all these things anymore. I just did them, and they were important to do, but at some point something else came in, right? I guess if we were talking about writing or an artist, inspiration enters, but inspiration comes along with a disciplined practice, right? It's, we prepare ourselves for something. And then something else comes in, which we hadn't known or planned about or intended, but there it is, boom. And I just hit the ball straight. I didn't even try to hit the ball straight. I just hit the ball. You see? Is that what you're... Yeah. But we do need some disciplined practice to like knowing how to hold a golf club or hit a tennis ball. Yeah.
So you said there's no need for self-improvement, and then I was going on thinking, but we do need to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, from what you just said, you don't even need to get out of the way.
You don't need to get out of the way.
I mean, I guess the being in the way is like the self we've constructed our whole lives, keeping on showing up. We just have to see it, say hi, and then it gets itself out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I don't know if off of what Sheila said, I'd like you to speak a little bit more to the self-improvement piece, because what came to my mind when you said that was, shouldn't we be aiming for improvement if we're not satisfied with the state of the world? Because how are we going to change that for the better if we don't begin with ourselves?
I think we do begin with ourselves, but the question is, how do we approach that? And in terms of liberation, we start by accepting that we are already perfect and complete as we are. We're born that way. We are not born with not being okay. We're born perfect and complete. Our true nature is there. And what seems to happen, I think, as we grow, as we learn, as we participate in the world, we get farther and farther away from that consciousness. And I think Zazen is a way to reconnect us to that beautiful, beautiful presence. That's what I mean by not having to do more self-improvement. See? When you reconnect to that consciousness, you serve not just yourself, but you begin to serve everybody else. Because you start to see that everybody that you see and everything that you encounter is you. You see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
By another way of looking at it being that if I'm embarking on a self-improvement program of some kind, or I'm looking for that deeper enlightenment, then I am already constructing a box in which everything must go, or else I will not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that opening, we were reading Uchiyama, so opening the hand of thought is what's really with me right now. And this notion that the thoughts, my conditioning, are passing like clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
I see them, I can see them, but I do not have to participate in them, I don't have to grab them, I can open that hand and let them pass.
Yes, that's right. That's very nice. You know, another way to think about that is just is not getting caught up in your narrative story about yourself. You know, that's the box that we build. You see. So let's practice with that. If you choose to work with the koan mu, then everything you do and every activity that you're involved with is just mu. Which means you don't eat breakfast, Mu does. Mu eats. Mu eats and Mu is eating Mu. Mu walks. Mu breathes. We forget the self. And as we forget the self, we become more aware of that natural light inside of our true nature. See? And we use Mu to help us to do that. So that's why we say it sweeps away all of your judgments, all of your narrative, all of your opinions, all get swept out on the out-breath of Mu.